This is Better Judgment by Upon a Painted Ocean, a Star Wars Rebels fanfic. It is rated for general audiences and no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship Alexander Callis / Garazeb Zeb Aurelius, and the tags include post episode 0 hour, hurt comfort, hurt Alexander Callis, aftermath of torture, sharing a bed, pre-relationship, and your escape pod has been delivered. Contents 1 ex-imp, lightly battered. Summary. Alexander Callis is the injured stray Tuca you have to crawl under the neighbor's porch to get any medical attention for. The passage to the portside docking ring was mostly filled with supply crates that had been hastily relocated from the cargo bay to make room for their sudden influx of passengers. The slope of the ramp leading to the airlock made for an awkward spot to hunker down, so most of the overflow of beings aboard that couldn't find space in the cargo bay and rest at the lower level had wedged themselves into the margins of the central corridor from the cockpit. Which was why Zeb's ears swiveled around at the muffled noise of pain from the far end of the passage. As far as he knew, any injured passengers were down in the cargo bay being seen to by the couple of medics who happened to be aboard, and anyone else with a passing familiarity with first aid, save the few most direly wounded ones in their tiny med bay further astern, and those were too unconscious to be whimpering. Zeb followed the faint sound toward the airlock port, to where a pair of Imperial-issued boots were visible behind the farthest stack of crates. Wedged into the small space, between crates and airlock, was a battered-looking Agent Callis, formerly ISB, lately Fulcrum, and most recently plucked from the debris field above Adelon. He had the contents of a medkit spread around him, and one side of his uniform tunic rucked up to reveal a splash of dark bruising across his side, teeth clenched on the collar of his tunic to muffle his sounds of pain as he stiffly contorted himself trying to see the damage. He didn't seem to hear Zeb's approach. Standing over an injured Callis, the human clearly worse for the wear for only the small amount of bare skin his uniform revealed, with one leg held awkwardly and clearly injured. The same leg, Zeb noted. Zeb was struck with a powerful sense of déjà vu. Hey, Zeb tried not to block the passage or corner him further. What are you doing down here? Kanan said you were looking pretty rough. Med bay's full, but we've got a couple medics set up in the cargo bay. Callis startled and winced, but didn't move to get up from between the crates. It seemed best for all involved that I not flout my presence among the rebels whose base my compatriots just bombarded from atmosphere. This seemed an out-of-the-way spot. He tugged his tunic down. Well, I thank you for your concern. I have no need of your medic's time nor resources. Zeb eyed the paltry size of the medkit and the state of Callus's exposed skin, especially the vibrant discoloration surrounding his eye. Yeah, it looks like you've really got everything under control here. Purple's a natural color for human skin now. He gave Callis's appearance a critical once-over. From the brief look Zeb had got before Callis pulled down the tunic's hem, and the way Callis held that arm close into his side, there were clearly some damaged ribs. And it also hadn't escaped Zeb's notice that Callis was doing everything one-handed. It wasn't just guarding his ribs that kept his right arm from use. Callis stubbornly probed another bruise and refused to flinch. While this is all very nostalgic, I'm sure you have far better and more pressing duties to attend to. I'd hope I've proven at least trustworthy enough you don't think I'll sabotage the ship I'm on if left unattended. Nah. As though he had all the time in the galaxy, Zeb casually leaned against the bulkhead like he was catching up with an old acquaintance. Which he supposed he was. Like he told the others, they'd survived Barren without killing each other. So that made them friends now. Or something. There's nothing more, really, for me to do. We're in hyperspace. Everyone's settled in as best they can, and we've got a few more jumps to make before we get to the new base, so... He shrugged. May as well haul you out of here. For old time's sake. Zeb held out a hand. Callis passed him the medkit and used the crate beside him to lever himself up to his feet. He rolled his eyes dramatically, though the effect was spoiled somewhat by only one being fully visible. Very well, if only to save you from boredom. He leaned heavily on the bulkhead and seemed to grow impossibly paler as the blood drained from his lips. Zeb caught him by an elbow as he wavered. Yeah, I'll be so bored when you faint and crack your skull open on a crate of power cells. Just come with me, he said, hauling Callus's left arm over his shoulder. You can trust me, same as the first time. Energy for resistance exhausted, Callus resigned himself to being half-carried back toward the main passage until they reached the doors just before the main cockpit. Zeb nudged the door controls with a free elbow and stepped through, but was brought up short when Callus hesitated. This is your personal quarters. I don't want to displace you. You can smell that, can you? Callus looked confused in addition to concussed. I suppose so. Your name is printed above the door, and Bridger's squeezed in above it in a different color. I doubt he'll take kindly to having me in his room either. Zeb huffed in exasperation. Maybe you didn't notice, but it's tight quarters all around at the moment. Space is kinda at a premium, given the, you know, entire base evacuation. We've already shuffled sleeping arrangements to make room. Ezra's bunking with Sabine, much to their mutual protest. Kanan moved in with Hera. The General has Kanan's room. Rex tossed his bedroll on Ezra's bunk. It's musical chairs around here. So if it makes you feel better, you're not getting any special treatment. And it's not the first time I've had to hot bunk in my life. Now come on, before you really collapse. Callus relented and let Zeb help him limp over to the lower bunk. Sitting down really was more of a controlled collapse, and he ended up slumped on the edge of the bed, bad leg sticking out at an awkward angle, swaying slightly as Zeb let go to drag a crate over to sit on. He watched as Zeb laid out the salvaged medkit, in addition to a better stocked box Zeb pulled from under his bunk. Look, I've picked up a fair bit of human-specific first aid knowledge living with a teenager whose idea of a fun time involves experimental explosives, and two Jedi with all their attendant, what Rex calls Chitsi Osik, but all my actual training was one, ages ago, and two, for Lasat. So, Zeb finished laying out the contents of the medkit. Any input from you would be great. At Callus's mulish look, he amended that slightly. Any honest input. None of that, I'm fine, I do not merit your concern, I don't require any assistance, Bantha fodder. Callus subsided, or perhaps just ran out of steam to continue prevaricating, and his posture slumped a little further from its usually unyielding imperial ramrod straightness. Very well. Shall I list them in order of injuries received? Or perhaps I'll alpha the order the letters go in. Yeah, I think I can already guess concussion belongs on that list. Zeb leaned over to rummage beneath his bunk again, reaching across Callus to pull out a drawer, muttering to himself. I thought I put it. Sorry, did I bump you? Professor has borrowed it again. Ah, nope, here it is. He straightened up with a small flashlight in his hand to find Callus looking at him dazedly. I don't mind it. You keep acting like I should be complaining about it, but it's rather comforting. Callus idly rubbed a tuft of fur on Zeb's forearm between his fingertips. What? Your scent. You act like it's off-putting. Zeb took Callus's chin and tilted his face up to examine his pupils. How hard did you hit your head? Well, Thrawn is nothing if not thorough, so quite hard. Among numerous other parts of my anatomy, which, he winced again, are making themselves insistently known. Okay. Happy to know you think I smell good. But do you think you can let me know which parts those are that you're yelling about? Don't worry about alphabetizing them first. Callus looked abstracted for a moment, as though mentally tallying up his inventory of hurts. You're most likely correct about the concussion. You can see my face, which I presume looks about like it feels. I imagine there's some truly impressive bruises under my tunic right now. Some of them might be a broken rib. My right kneecap has been dislocated at least twice. Once by a kick from Thrawn, and again as I fought my way out of the turbo lift. I don't actually know if it slipped out of joint again or not. After the second time, the pain scarcely differed either way. Apart from that, it's all the usual bumps and bruises of a fight. Oh, and I think I recall being struck with an electroprod at least once, Callus concluded. You think you recall? Zeb's ears were solidly set at an unhappy angle. He narrowed his eyes. What about that arm? You haven't used it once since I found you. Callus looked down at his right wrist, which was still held protectively close to his body, as though just remembering its existence. Oh, yes, I suppose my wrist might be broken as well. Restraint cuffs aren't designed to suspend someone's full weight. He tried to flex the joint, but immediately stopped with a bit-off hiss. I haven't looked, but I don't imagine either wrist will be a pretty sight. All right, don't hurt yourself more. You've already got enough of a list. Zeb sat up to fully face Callus. Let's get this Dekutla uniform off you so we can see what we're dealing with. He fumbled at the catches on the side of the Curious before it sprang loose, so he could toss it unceremoniously towards the corner. With Zeb doing most of the work and Callus showing him where the various clasps and closures were, they worked together to add tack belt, gloves, and tunic to the pile. The gloves came off as gingerly as possible, though not without repeated hitches in Callus's breathing. His wrists, when revealed, were indeed a mess of bruises. The gloves had offered enough protection there were no open abrasions, but Callus's right wrist was indeed swollen. When Zeb poked the most colorful blotch of bruising, point painful in the manner of broken bones. It seemed more or less the proper shape for a human wrist, though, and there were no extra bumps or bones protruding, so Zeb let Callus snatch the injured limb back to his lap and continued helping Callus divest himself of his imperial trappings. Down to the undershirt now, just as rumpled as the uniform tunic and tacky with half-dried blood in spots, Callus made to pull it over his head, but flinched at having to raise his arms at such an angle. Zeb reached for the shirt collar. You haven't got any attachment to this, do you? I'd say it's about had it anyway. No, Callus dropped his arms. There's probably shears in the... Without waiting any longer, Zeb slit the collar with a claw, then simply tore the shirt down the front. Or that works just as well, Callus concluded, sounding slightly dazed, not just from the concussion. Zeb eased the remains of the shirt down his shoulders and worked each arm free in turn, skin beneath mottled with darkly blooming bruises. The fabric stuck at a spot on Callus's right side, just above the largest array of bruises, and it revealed an angry red welt of a burn as Zeb carefully peeled it away. Callus's breath hitched. I think I found the electroprod burn you think you remember, and those possibly broken ribs. Zeb turned his attention to the contusions below the burn. Zeb's hand spanned the center of the bruising. You've definitely got at least a couple of the lowest ribs here cracked, though they're not moving around too much, so that's good. He probed further at the area, and Callus bit his lip to suppress a yelp, but instead set the split lip bleeding again and yelped anyway. Hardly surprising, given the strength of the Grand Admiral's kick. It might have been far worse. I had just severely annoyed him. Zeb cracked a chill pack and shook it to activate it. Well, what's under there on a human? Your kidneys? You'll probably be passing blood for a few days anyhow. He pressed the now cold pack against the darkest bruising. Deep breaths won't be fun for a while either. Callus held the chill pack in place with a shiver. Yes, I hadn't noticed that while running through a Star Destroyer, he said dryly. Or staggering, he amended. At least it's been long enough now that any dire internal bleeding would have made itself known already. Most likely. Zeb patted his shoulder. See, now you're talking like a true rebel, always looking on the bright side. You haven't bled out internally yet. It's about the little victories. Bare to the waist with the chill pack against his side, Callus shivered again, not looking especially bright. Zeb took pity on him. All right, trousers first or Bacta. Up to you. You should... Callus took a deliberately deep breath in spite of his ribs. Fully assess the injuries you're dealing with before making decisions regarding what to use Bacta on. I can't imagine you have much to spare, and you shouldn't... Zeb cut him off. Trousers first, then. How are we going to do this? Zeb rubbed the back of his neck. Do you think you can stand enough to get them down? Callus started to try, gripping the bunk above him and leaning onto his good leg, but didn't get more than a couple of centimeters off the mattress before losing his balance. Not now I've stopped moving, no. He looked reluctant, but reached for Zeb. You'll have to... Zeb showed no hesitation in leaning forward and taking Callus's arm. I've got you. Here, hold on. Zeb draped Callus's arms around his neck so that the man was essentially embracing him and stood slightly with Callus hanging on tight, lifting him just far enough to quickly work his trousers down past his hips, and sat him back on the bunk in his skivvies. There was the pink flush of embarrassment peculiar to lighter-skinned humans across Callus's cheeks Zeb knelt to work his trousers the rest of the way off. It quickly disappeared when Zeb reached his right knee, Callus's expression blanching as he paled with pain. Zeb paused.
"Do you need a breather?"
Callus clenched his teeth.
"No, just get it over with. Waiting won't make it hurt any less."
"All right." Zeb pulled the trousers the rest of the way off swiftly and surely and caught Callus with a broad hand to the center of his chest as he pitched forward with a yell. The yell tapered off into a low whine of pain, but Zeb kept his hand in place until he was sure Callus wasn't going to simply fold double in pain.
When Callus steadied, Zeb ran a perfunctory hand down each leg in turn, but besides the obvious, there was no sign of other injury. The obvious was swollen, dark seeps of bruising draining down from the joint, and clearly unable to bend far even if it wouldn't cause agony. Didn't look particularly misshapen, though, when Zeb tentatively prodded at it. It felt like he thought a human knee should, just very swollen. Wasn't like he'd paid close attention to many human knees, though, so he wanted a second opinion. Unfortunately, there was only one other option to be had. Zeb took Callus's good hand and guided it to his knee.
"This'll suck, but you'd know best what your own knee is meant to feel like, especially if you've already popped it back in once today."
Callus's face screwed up in pain, and his unsteady breaths came quickly and shallow, but he palpated around his knee until he was satisfied he could feel the kneecap.
It's where it should be," he gasped. "Carabest."
Zeb patted a sympathetic hand on his shoulder.
"Glad to hear it. Let's make sure it stays that way this time."
He reached for the medkit supplies.
"You know,"
Callus said as Zeb searched the escape pod's medkit, "it actually healed just fine after Barin. My thigh would ache a little where the break had been if there was a sudden weather change, but that's seldom an issue aboard a ship." He rubbed ruefully at his thigh, carefully avoiding the knee.
"I doubt I'll be so lucky twice."
Zeb held up the supplies he had found.
"We'll do what we can."
Callus fought to stay still as Zeb smoothed a back patch over the front of his knee, then wrapped the joint securely with an elastic bandage, but he had to admit, it did feel marginally better once within the soft support.
"There, that should keep things in place," Zeb declared, tucking the end of the wrap in securely.
His ears drooped.
"That was the only actual back to patch we had, though. It's not exactly easy to get a hold of outside the core. We've got a tube of gel, but it's probably expired. Better than nothing, but it's not going to do too much."
Callus brought his breathing under control.
"Anything you can spare is more than I could ask for. If you've only got the one small tube, you'd best use it on any injuries likely to get worse. The burn is the biggest infection risk."
With Callus's knee stabilized, Zeb turned his attention back to the injuries to his upper body. These were more extensive, though mostly in the range of moderate bruises. Uncomfortable, but hardly life-threatening, and too numerous to cover with the available Bacta. His wrist, too, though broken, was probably the least urgent of Callus's injuries, and easily enough splinted. Zeb did that first, as the simplest way to reduce pain before he had to cause more in cleaning the electroprod contact burn. There was a length of moldable foam in the salvaged Imperial medkit that was perfect for the task, so Zeb shaped it to Callus's hand and forearm, and bound it in place with a roll of gauze. Compared to the knee, Callus didn't seem at all affected by Zeb manipulating the injured limb. He did hiss through his teeth as Zeb swabbed out the burn with antiseptic and spread it liberally with Bacta before smoothing a pad of gauze and adhesive dressing over it. The cracked ribs and attendant bruising got a light coat of Bacta as well, and then Zeb cracked a fresh chill pack and tied a broad strip of gauze around Callus's ribs to hold it in place. That used up almost the entire small tube of Bacta. The last bit, Zeb saved for Callus's face. In the time since he'd come aboard, his black eye had swelled almost completely shut. The swelling looked horribly painful, even more so when Zeb used Bacta-coated fingers to probe around the socket.
"Sorry, I know. Just want to be sure you haven't got a fractured eye socket or anything. This is the last of it," Zeb reassured,
sitting back and wiping his hands clean on a scrap of gauze when he was satisfied Callus wasn't about to lose an eye. Sitting on a tatty bunk in nothing but his skivvies and piebald with bruises, Callus looked the farthest thing from the tenacious Imperial agent he had been. Hearing his filtered voice as Fulcrum through transmissions was one thing, but with him here aboard the Ghost, sitting on Zeb's own bunk, Zeb was suddenly struck with the knowledge that he probably had a hand in recruiting him, and that Callus was his friend. Or something. And that, while he knew Zeb's full name,
He'd never given his in return.
Look, you've got to have another name besides Agent Callus. I'm not going to keep calling you that. What do your friends call you? And if you say an IDENT number, I may cry.
Callus stared at Zeb blankly. Zeb gestured for him to speak.
You said not to say my identification designation, said Callus, finding nothing seemingly wrong with his reply.
Zeb pinched the equivalent bridge of his nose in a very human gesture.
Am I going to have to get Rex up here for this talk? Friends don't call friends a number. Unless it's a droid, I guess. But even most droids come up with a nickname. Chopper's very good at coming up with them. The ruder, the better.
Callus shrugged, suppressed a grimace of pain at the movement, and waved off Zeb's concern.
The Empire does not encourage fraternization. Being ISB does also tend to dissuade people's attempts.
His mouth gave a wry twist, which set his split lip bleeding again.
I don't think I've been called anything but my rank and number since before the Academy. And measly useless maggot, but that's not since basic training, and it was more of a general term of address.
Zeb snarled softly in frustration.
Am I going to have to bribe someone in intelligence to slice into your records to find out? You have got a personal name, right? Most humans do. If your given name's that embarrassing or you don't want to use it, you can always pick a new one.
Callus sighed.
It's Alexander. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that nobody uses it. At least, nobody in years has. I'm not even sure I would still answer to it if it was called across a crowded hangar.
Zeb's expression softened as he held out a hand.
We can work on that, then. He clasped Callus's forearm. It's good to meet you, Alexander Callus. In the meantime, how about Cal for short?
Callus smiled.
I think I could live with that.
Good, Zeb said softly, swiping his thumb gently across Callus's swollen, bleeding lip to coat it in the last bit of Bacta.
I'll try to come up with some more nicknames you'll have to live with, too.
All right. Smeared with Bacta and at the bottom of the adrenaline come down after Force knew how long on high alert, Callus was crashing fast.
One piece of bad news, though. Looks like imps aren't all that keen on keeping painkillers stocked in medkits, or checking escape pod medkits have everything. This one's fresh out. I'd give you some of mine, but I don't want to go messing with cross-species weight dosages combined with head trauma. I can see if any of the others have got some spare.
Callus laid a hand on Zeb's arm.
It's all right, really, Zeb. You've done more than enough. I've had worse. I'll just sleep the worst of it off and the Bacta will do the rest.
Zeb's ears drooped.
Yeah, for all the good expired Bacta will be. You're still going to be hurting in the morning, Cal.
It's better than I thought I'd be. I didn't think I'd be in a position to feel much of anything.
Zeb met Callus's solemn gaze. You didn't expect to survive your cover being broken.
It wasn't a question.
No, I didn't dare hope.
Zeb dared to stroke the hair back from Callus's forehead that had been jarred loose from its precisely gelled hold. It flopped forward again, so Zeb just kept his hand, gently, on the back of Callus's head.
Well, now you're stuck with us, so you'd better get in the habit of hoping. It's what rebellions run on, after all.
Callus made a tired noise of assent. Then he seemed to realize, through his daze, that he was still only clad in skivvies and assorted bandages.
Ah, right now I'm rather hoping clothing is a possibility.
Oh, yeah, that uniform's seen better days, and according to Ezra's complaining, they're hardly comfortable the best of times, so...
Zeb dropped a bundle of Mitch's matched fabric on the bunk. We took up collection. Dojo trousers from Kanan, so they might be a bit short, but they're plenty loose. The woolly jumper is Hera's, but she likes them two sizes too big, so it should be just your size. And Rex had a spare pair of base blacks, so those should cover any bits that stick out.
Callus fished a pair of very mismatched and very obviously handmade socks out of the pile, and regarded them dubiously.
Ah, the socks are from Sabine's brief and never-repeated foray into knitting. They're lumpy, misshapen, and I didn't even know yarn could come in those colors, but she swears that they're warm.
The ghost of a smile appeared on Callus's battered face.
I'll be sure to thank her when I next see her. Wait, he paused. When did you have time to gather these?
Zeb grinned.
What? Did you think I just stumbled over you by accident? You squirreled yourself away after Kanan spoke with you, and I was given strict orders to track down your hidey hole. Not that I needed them, but Hera takes the well-being of her passengers very seriously. I think she'd take it as a personal insult if someone crawled off and died in some corner while licking their wounds by themselves. She says if anyone dies on this ship, it'll be because she killed them on purpose. Or sick chopper on them. That seemed to quell some more of Callus's moroseness. From what I've seen of that droid, I'd say Captain Syndulla would have more trouble preventing Chopper from going on a spree of assassination than not. It's quite the ruthless saboteur, he said with a note of professional admiration. He's a bloody menace, is what he is, said Zeb darkly. I like him, Callus yawned. You would, muttered Zeb, as he helped Callus pull on the slightly too large trooper blacks, carefully rolling him up over various sore spots of backed-in bruises nonetheless. Do you want to wear anything over these, or are they enough to sleep in? Callus considered. Just the jumper will be fine. The socks, too, he added. Zeb helped him into both, and helped him lay down on his bunk. I'm going to go check. Hera doesn't need me for anything. Will you be okay on your own for a bit? Zeb dimmed the cabin lights. I'll be back in a bit to check that concussion, but no one else will bother you in here. Callus shifted, trying to find a comfortable position. I'll be fine. Thank you, Zeb. Don't feel any need to hurry back if there's other things for you to do. Yeah, sure you will. I'll poke my head in anyhow. True to his word, Zeb soon slipped back into the cabin. He entered the room quietly, only to find Callus awkwardly curled into the corner of his bunk, eyes fixed with wary half-alertness on the door. Faint tremors ran through his tense frame. Hey, you're still alive, that's good. Zeb looked critically at Callus's pain-pinched face, which, between the obvious bruising and the underlying pallor, which was not any color the human's face was supposed to be. Have you slept at all? I found you some painkillers that might help. They're rated for human use. I'm already unfit for active duty. I can't compromise my faculties further. Cal, I don't know if you've taken a look at yourself recently, but you're not fit for active anything, and you've already had your bell rung plenty hard enough to compromise any faculties you've got. These won't sedate you, but if you're in a little less pain, you might actually sleep. Zeb placed two tabs in Callus's hand. You're safe with us. I promise I'm not going to give you anything that'll harm you. He squinted at the ingredients list on the back of the packet. Unless you've got any allergies I should know about? Callus started to shake his head, but winced. No, I've not got any allergies to medication. None that have been discovered, at any rate. None to medication. Are you allergic to anything else? Callus tried to sit up straighter despite the arm he kept closely guarding his injured ribs. Lothcats, as I discovered when posted to Lothal. You're allergic to Lothcats? Zeb barked an unexpected laugh. How'd you find that out?
Callus didn't meet Zeb's eyes. I was taking out a supply depot for your Spectre group, and one discovered my observation post and wouldn't stop rubbing itself against my trousers. I was sneezing for a week before I realized what was causing it. Fur had got all over my quarters.
Zeb eyed the bunk Callus occupied, with purple fur very obviously ground into its mattress and some of it already sticking to Callus's trouser legs, and shifted self-consciously, but before he could open his mouth, Callus was swift to interject. It really does seem to be Lothcat-specific. I've never had noticeable issues with any other furred beings, and, A blush added yet another layer to his already colorful face. There didn't seem to be any issue with our close quarters on Barin. No issues, huh? Zeb waggled his ears and was grinning as he sat on the edge of the bunk. He passed Callus a water pouch to wash down the pain tabs. Callus acquiesced and gulped them down without further protest, though his trembling didn't subside. Zeb watched another shiver run through Callus's frame with ears set at an unhappy angle.
Sorry if you're cold. I don't generally sleep with blankets. Zeb gestured at his fur. And we've handed out all the spares.
I assure you, I'll survive. Callus held himself rigid to suppress another shiver. These quarters are significantly warmer than my own. Former quarters, that is. It's mostly just residual shock and adrenaline letdown. It hardly rates your being concerned for my discomfort. Zeb pounced at that half-admission. But you are in discomfort, and I'll always be concerned for who I like. He rolled his eyes and rubbed the back of his neck awkwardly. And Ashla knows why, but I like you. And we've kept each other warm before. I haven't got a blanket to offer, but I run plenty warm. Willfully ignoring Zeb's first sentiment, Callus winced at another suppressed shiver and chose to be pedantic instead. I don't know about kept each other warm, per se. Well, we didn't die, so it was warm enough. And force, Cal. Zeb's ears drooped even further. You need to sleep, and jarring your injuries every 5 seconds with shivering can't be helping. This might help, and Hera stood me down from anything else, and you are in my bunk, so just let me help. He tried to muster the ghost of a grin. Even promised not to elbow you in the face this time. In answer, Callus uncurled slightly from the corner he'd pressed himself into. Zeb scooted closer and raised a tentative arm in invitation. Exhausted, cold, still muzzy brain from concussion, or just plain needing some physical reassurance, Callus leaned close with little hesitation. With some careful adjustment, he ended up laying stretched on his left side with most of his weight supported on Zeb, who lay on his back slightly propped up against the padded slope of the bunk. With most of his front plastered to Zeb's warm bulk, Callus's shivers gradually eased. A warm arm wrapped itself around his shoulders. So, Fulcrum, huh? Zeb craned his neck to see Callus's face, pressed into his collarbone and partly obscured by the hair that had sprung free of its styling. Any particular reason? Callus drummed his fingers on Zeb's chest. I think you know why. A very honorable being told me to ask some questions. His voice grew even quieter. And I found some answers. Zeb laid a hand over Callus's to still his fidgeting. Hey, Cal. I'm proud of you. I think you're honorable yourself. He tightened his hand on Callus's, mindful of his sore knuckles. And I'm glad you're here now. I'm glad I am, too. It's a relief. The painkillers and the warmth were taking their toll on Callus and allowing exhaustion to finally win out. Sleep, Cal. It's all right. Zeb reassured him. I've got an alarm set to wake you in a couple hours to check on your concussion, but you can rest till then. Author's End Notes. Zeb? Callus complained as they walked down the ramp from the ghost, or limped heavily, leaning on Zeb, in his case. I know what a temporary military base in the process of being set up looks like. I've seen quite a few. There'll be a makeshift landing pad, piles of crates, half of them in the wrong place, and people milling about all over the place, getting in each other's way and trying to all snag the best bunk. Yeah, but this'll be a rebel base, with rebel chaos, said Zeb, covering Callus's eyes with the hand not wrapped around his shoulders. It's entirely different, and twice as chaotic. They reached the base of the ramp and stepped out of the ghost's shadow. Welcome to the rebellion, Cal, grinned Zeb with a sweep of his arm. Officially. Callus blinked at the scene unfolding before him. This explains a lot about why I could never anticipate your plans, he said. Do you think the quartermaster would like some help, or takes constructive criticism? AP5's going to adore you,